call to order the House Committee on Veterans Affairs for Monday, February 13th. First of all, I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 4063.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, House Bill 4063 allows applicants to certain licensed occupation to substitute military training or experience for education or training required by a licensing agency or board if that military experience or education is substantially equivalent to that required by the board. We have three amendments to this bill right now. The dash two amendments include the dash one amendments. They change the word board to Department of Public Safety and Standards and Training. It also removes the educational substitute for physician assistants, but allows military training to be used for continued education requirements. There is no revenue impact on that amendment and no fiscal impact on that amendment. The dash three amendments remove speech language pathologists, audiologists, and speak language pathology assistants from the bill. And likewise, we got our impact statements back, and there's no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. The dash five amendments direct the Teachers Standards and Practices Commission to license certified instructors for the armed forces if they are otherwise qualified. Again, this one has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Dash two.
Okay. General, could you come up and tell us a little bit about the dash five amendments, please?
I'd like to kick that off, if that's okay. I'll come back around.
Well, Representative, you have to get on that side.
I'm working there. Right there.
And by the way, I might add that Representative Parrish brought these forward, and I think they are excellent amendments to this bill and make it substantially better.
Well, thank you. Good morning. I'm very glad I got here on time because my alarm clock decided I didn't need to come to work today. So I raced down here to get here to do this. Julie Parrish, for the record, state representative from House District 37, wonderful Westland and Tualatin. My husband retired on Friday, I'm sure some of you guys know, and for years this particular issue has been a bone of contention for a lot of the soldiers that I know who have skills that they've acquired in the military to teach and instruct. They've done it for years, and I want to share two instructors in my world who've made a huge difference in why I'm actually sitting in front of you today. I was a kid who, you know, very transitory, which military life certainly is, but as a child, transitory for a whole bunch of other reasons, and I barely graduated high school. There was a woman who kept me in high school. I had taken journalism for 3 years in one high school from an English teacher who taught journalism as a side. When I got to my high school in Colorado, I was taking journalism from a journalism teacher who taught English as a side, as a real journalist who was teaching it. So someone who had skills in the profession. And so she kept me through high school. And then college was bouncy. And I had an instructor who one time, Captain Conklin at the time, I think he's now a lieutenant colonel?
He's retired.
Retired. At Southern Oregon University. And he said to me, you know what, just get the C's and get the hell out of here. But he was very supportive because I didn't have parents. I didn't have anybody who was monitoring my education. And staying in school was a struggle. And so he was an influence in my life. And he wasn't your traditional instructor, but he'd had training from the military. He was there teaching military science. That people who held that job had to develop their own curriculum. They had a lot of experience in, you know, creating tests and making sure people were prepped. And so these are two people who were non-traditional teachers. They weren't your typical. They didn't go through any of our programs or processes, but they were teaching and made a difference in my life, kept me in school, got me out of both high school and college, and I'm immensely grateful to them today. So I want to talk a little bit about why I'm bringing this forward, because we have heard this. Over the last 17 years, I've been tied to the National Guard as a spouse and dealing with family program issues. And one of the things I hear is that all of the different types of licenses we're talking about today are impactful when you think about what it costs to go back to school and go get something that they're already trained to do. These folks have already had experience in, you know, the physician's assistants and the EMTs and also in teaching. So I got a hold of the folks from Troops to Teachers, Troops to Teachers is a program that wants to purposefully put veterans into our classrooms, and they pay for it. And over the course of, I think the program's been around since about 1994, 95, somewhere in that range, 56,000 veterans across the country have either registered or tried to access funds. Of that 56,000, only 440 have ever been from Oregon. So one of the things, when I talked to the woman, and you've got some testimony from her, Megan Stidge, she runs the Troops to Teachers unit that covers Oregon, and she said, you know what we tell Oregon soldiers? We tell them to move to Florida and go get their license in Florida, because it's easier to do that, and then go teach in a state that has reciprocity. Oregon doesn't have any kind of reciprocity. So they're telling our Oregon soldiers to leave Oregon to get this money and access this money. So what the money does is, if you have a bachelor's degree already and you're otherwise qualified to be a teacher in other states, and certainly some states don't require any kind of fifth-year licensure at all, they will give you up to $10,000 to get your basic licensure and an additional $5,000 to get certifications. So if you want to go teach high school math, or if you want to teach third grade reading, or whatever the certifications are that are available in a state, they'll give dollars for that. Since the program's inception, they've given $81 million out to veterans. Oregon's drawdown of that $81 million has been $400,000, give or take a few thousand dollars, about $400,000. So again, another federal program that we do not draw back our money back down to the state level, and because it's just too hard. The barrier to entry is too hard. The other interesting thing with this Troops to Teachers program is, if they are willing to pay for our, if we can give our soldiers basic licensure, if they've been certified as an instructor in the military, and we give them basic reciprocity with the basic license, this is not saying that they're going to go and be able to go teach third grade tomorrow. It says we're going to give you the basic license. You still need to go get your endorsement. So if you want to teach third grade, or if you want to teach, you know, high school math, or whatever the endorsements are that you need to go out and chase administrator, you still have to go do that. So we're not saying carte blanche, go do this. We're saying the basic license, we're going to give reciprocity, and then you go get your endorsements. The Troops to Teachers will pay for those endorsements. Our soldiers can register. It's very easy to do. You know, Representative Escobar, to your point the other day in committee when you were talking about how hard is it to get those GI bills and get them, you know, processed through the schools, the Troops to Teacher money is pretty quick and painless. You simply register, you provide your documents that you're in an approved program, and they start cutting you checks pretty quick thereafter. So you've got a letter in front of you about the program from Megan Stidd from the Mountain Pacific Troops to Teachers. Certainly would love to have you read through that. This doesn't have any kind of fiscal impact or revenue impact. You know, the other thing that of note is that our veterans, as a rule, are right now nationally, post 9/11 veterans are about 14% unemployed in the market right now. So when you look at that compared to the national average being somewhere in the 8-9%, this is a group that's significantly higher in the unemployment market. Lastly, if they don't have to use their post 9/11 GI Bill for school, and we don't have to, you know, send them through an extra year of training, that's $25,000 that they're not having to spend. These are folks who are, you know, potentially, you know, sergeants and folks who are just kind of in that middle class family range, and people who, quite frankly, their kids might not qualify for school dollars, for Pell Grant, if they might just make a little too much, but maybe they're not quite, you know, got all the grades that they need to get scholarships. So that post 9/11 GI Bill, if soldiers earned it, now becomes the family's safety net for getting their child into college and progressing them, certainly, hopefully, above and beyond where their parents went. So this preserves that resource for the family, and it draws down some additional federal dollars that, quite frankly, we haven't been very good, clearly, since this program's inception. We have not been good about drawing these dollars back into our state. So I would love to have us move the Dash 5 amendments, and I'll take any questions.
General.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Brigadier General Mike Caldwell. I'm the Deputy Director of the Military Department. Representative Parrish asked if I could get some information for the committee to kind of explain how we do our education programs right now. And first off, we have Officer Candidate School, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. We actually have a state-run program that's been endorsed by the Army and by the education branch of the Army that we also run in Oregon. We're tied with University of Portland, Portland State University, and OSU and U of O and the ROTC. And we also have another program that we run at WOU, Western Oregon, Southern Oregon, and Eastern Oregon. It's called the Guard Officer Leadership Development Program. when OCS, when the Officer Candidate School Program in the Army pulled out of Oregon, where these used to be, we backfilled it with our own program, which was certified by the Army, and then we're in conjunction with them, so we actually have seven different programs that are run across the state. In each instance, the professor of military science or the assistant professor of military science in this case, each one of those will have a bachelor's degree. They're not necessarily an education degree, but they will have a bachelor's degree, and then they will work inside that program. In order to teach in our or to instruct in the military and the Army, and the Air Force is very similar, we have four basic types of courses that an individual must attain certification on. The first one's an Army Basic Instructor, which is a 10-day course, and that's typically a sergeant or above or a junior officer who will then be required to do that. A sergeant's typically going to have 4 to 5 years of experience, and they're typically going to teach something that they're very familiar with in that particular experience. A small group instructor, you got to do the basic of 10 days, and then if you have a small group, which is another certification, it's 5 additional days. If you're a tactical certification course, which is a higher level, then you add another 5 days on top of that in another setting, and then the final one is a tactical qualification course, which is typically OCS-type training that you have to do a 5-day course. So do all the previous courses and then plus 5 days. Most generally, like I said, we're starting to see right now, particularly in our OCS courses, any of our instructors that don't have a bachelor's degree, they either have an AA or we're working toward that, in that sometimes we'll send junior NCOs or mid-level NCOs to that course so they can also get their college degree done. So generally speaking, like I said, it's well within the expertise of the individual that attends these courses, because they have that expertise we want them to teach, and it could be anything from twisting a wrench to something more complicated like artillery math, which Representative Perry's husband is an artilleryman, and if you're not really, really good at math, you don't get into artillery, I can tell you that. I'm a former artilleryman, but I'm a cannon cocker. I didn't do the tough stuff. I just had to put the shell in the thing, pull the lanyard. I had the easy part. The guys were telling me what to do. I had to be good at math, because believe me, I wasn't. So anyway, that's kind of the general scope of how we operate. I would agree that most of the people that we see that we put into our instructor capability, typically they're going to have an AA. We're going to make sure that they have an associate degree in order to do those kind of more upper level courses. So they have the basic. If you're an instructor, you have the basic how to deliver, you know, what the processes are, how students learn, those sort of things. Typically, a 5-day course for us is probably about a month for anybody else, because we start early and we end late. But that's just kind of how things go in our operation. So,
and under this -5 amendment, they still have to have a bachelor's degree. So his AA folks would still need to go out and chase their bachelor's degree. So they'd still have to have a bachelor's degree. They still would have to be registered with TSPC and not be a sex offender or any of those kind of things that TSPC is out there chasing for. So they'd still have to do all of that. This is just, again, giving them basic reciprocity with the recognizing what they've done as a certified instructor in the military, any branch of the military, and then they'd have to still go chase those endorsements. The other thing I wanted to add about the Troops to Teachers program that I forgot to mention is that if you're going to take the money for Troops to Teachers, it requires that you give 3-year commitment to a school that is 50% or more free and reduced. Now, I want you to think about where those schools are in your communities, and think about who those kids are in your communities. In the schools I grew up in, 50% free and reduced, they were single-parent homes. A lot of times, no male role model. As a percentage, you know, the folks who are pulling this, clearly we have more men and the women in the military than women. So you have a lot of men who are drawing this down as a benefit across the nation right now. And so when my son was going into first grade, we have 7 elementary schools in our school district, and I thought, you know what, he needs a male teacher, because this, you know, school thing's not working out for him so well. We had 1 male first grade teacher across 7 schools. So when you think about now putting men back into the classroom, and I don't want to make stereotypes here, but frankly, there's not a lot of men in our K-12 system. And we're sending these people through the Troops to Teacher program into districts where there's probably not a strong male role model at home. So now you're talking about putting in positive role models for kids that don't have them. And She didn't provide me the data, but she did, Megan's did from Troops to Teachers, did tell me that they have done some research and that classrooms, quite frankly, managed by former veterans actually have better outcomes in their classrooms. I have to imagine that has something to do with organization and a little bit of discipline in the classroom. And again, that strong, powerful role model, male or female, in the classroom. And so, you know, if you think about a school district like, and I don't represent the David Douglas area, but I know the gal who runs the food service program out there, they've got schools that are serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 90% free and reduced, a lot of single-parent households, a lot of low-income households who've never had that strong role model for their children. This is a perfect opportunity from a social perspective as well to be putting people back in the classroom who typically wouldn't go and teach, except we're going to open up that door and give them the opportunity to be there and support those families in a different kind of way as well. So, like I said, that's my song and dance on this one for the day, and I hope we move the Dash 5s.
I have one other alibi here. When we're talking about junior ROTC, which there are five or six programs here in the state of Oregon, one I'm most familiar with is here at North Salem, because we helped get it going several years ago. And to my knowledge, you're not required to have a certificate. You got to go through the board to make sure you're okay. But if you have if you were a certified ROTC instructor retired out of the Army, then you come to that high school and you start teaching your ROTC courses without being a certified degree in education. So that's fairly typical. And they usually have two people, a retired NCO and a retired officer, that run these programs. So that's already going on here in Oregon. The other thing that that you may not be aware of, but I think it was in 2005, the legislature created the Oregon Troops to Teachers bill that offered money on top of what the national program would do. And I think we've only had a handful of folks that take advantage of that, maybe five or six in the last decade almost, 7-8 years. Legislature created it in an effort to do exactly what the good representative indicated. Was to, you know, same kind of program. You got to go to a Title I, is that what they call them?
Yeah.
Title I school. I think it's a free and reduced program. So that's available, but we certainly haven't had a lot of takers.
Any questions?
I just have a comment, Representative. Mr. Chair, thank you for bringing this up, because I certainly didn't know about it. And I think that this is really something that positive that we can do. And I would bet that we all have constituents who may not know about this, that this might be the fit they're looking for. I mean, you think about what people are facing when they come back and they're unemployed, and maybe they don't want to go back to what they were doing before for some reason, but this would be a good avenue to go. I wanted to thank the Brigadier General for bringing that up, and then sounds like, you know, not very much, 10 days or 5 days or something, but he's absolutely right. You know, when you do something and you count a day at 1 hour or 2 hours versus an all-day thing like 8 to 5 or something like that or longer, that makes a big difference, and that could be 10 times longer than a small class.
Well, and then, you know, you've also got the instructional hours. So a typical tour for, say, somebody who's teaching the military science program in our state is like a 3-year tour. So they're teaching 3 years of college-level classes. They're designing the curriculum. They're administering the test. They're working with students from all walks of life. And so their class time, when you think about how much class time somebody's actually accumulating, they're probably accumulating in that time more than we would in the basic teacher licensure program where you go out for a few months and do your student teaching and come back. They actually, some of these folks have as many as 3 to 5 years, you know, depending on if they get bounced. And we have this program at Southern, you know, for the record, my husband taught this for a year and a half before he got bounced back up to Portland. And so you have people who have all that instructional time. And if you think about over the course of a 20-year career and you've been certified instructor and you're doing a lot of teaching, you got more teaching hours than any first-year or, you know, even fifth-year student teacher who's come out in the field. Some of these folks have more class time that they've earned and logged. So it's, you know, it's significant.
Anything else?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to comment on this particular Dash 5 amendment?
I support it.
Seeing none, okay, thank you. Okay, go ahead, Brad.
Mr. Chairman, I move the dash 2, dash 3, and dash 5 amendments to House Bill 4063.
Representative Witt, Co-Chair Witt, moves to adopt the dash 2, dash 3, and dash 5 amendments to House Bill 4063, and that's dated February 3rd and February 7th accordingly. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so move.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 4063 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Oh, you rescinded.
I was going to say.
I almost had a comment there, but I'll refrain.
Co-Chair Witt moves House Bill 4063 as amendment to the House floor with a due pass recommendation that the subsequent referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee be rescinded. Are there any discussion? Representative Boone, you're on if you have a chance.
Well,
now,
you know, I guess I will ask that, you know, because we've been hearing that every bill has to be referred, you know, it has to have a fiscal, put it that way, not referred to Ways and Means, but it has to have a fiscal, and whether, regardless of it really has a fiscal or not, but just to determine same. So this is great. I'm glad that we can do it at this level and not have it go down there and have to be process another step of processing so we can get this done. I'm ready to vote.
Representative Huffman.
Mr. Chair, I have no comment about the bill, but I do have a comment about your tie. Are we going to have a chance to
I'll pick your ties out for you, Representative Huffman. Just let me know and we'll go after
Thank
work.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Well, so since this is the last bill we're working, isn't it? Unless we get stuff from the Senate.
We get
right?
stuff from the Senate.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, I just, again, this is the one committee I love coming to. There's nothing train wreck about us. You know, we're able to get in there and do good work and, you know, and help a group of people. But again, look at the audience, folks. It's the same players, the same faces. You know,
the usual suspect.
You should have seen my committees on Friday. They were packed with Shirley lobbyists sitting on the floor. We can't get people here. We have got to remember that we are the best advocates for veterans in this building and you know, make sure that our colleagues who don't come in here and sit in here listen to this and hear our voices, because our veterans are not coming to us asking for things. So we have to use what we hear on the street and from our constituents to come up with the best possible ideas for our veterans and, you know, and be that voice. So I just really do appreciate serving with all of you on this committee, because we do good work.
I was speaking to my wife this morning just about the Veterans Committee, and the one thing that I see about this committee is that you have people that sit on it that want to do a good job for veterans, because the veterans don't come in and ask for it, but they deserve it, and it's our responsibility to make sure they have it. So,
thanks.
But I am glad to see everybody here.
Who does come.
This is truly the one, because I started out in D this morning, I admit it, you know. But I'm glad, because, you know, you come in here and you know that if we have a question of Brigadier General, he'll be here. Bill's the voice, and John, you're here for this. And, you know, Tom, of course, and I'm always afraid he's not going to show up and retire or something, but Nicole, everybody who's here is, and I see people all over, but anyway, it's good to see the people who do come, and I think we all appreciate it.
Co-Chair Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank Representative Parrish for bringing the Dash 5s forward. I think this is an opportunity for us as a state to recognize teaching experience of members of our military who, as we've heard from testimony, have probably had considerably more experience in the classroom than would the typical student teacher. And I think that it will also afford our state the opportunity to get additional very qualified teachers and people who want to be in the classroom. I think making someone who's spent a career in the military go back to college to learn the very skills that they would probably be best suited for in teaching a college teacher's prep class. Just doesn't make sense, and probably runs off a lot of folks who would otherwise enter the teaching profession. So I think this is a win-win-win all the way around, and very pleased that Representative Parrish brought the amendments and that our committee is about to act on them.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Representative Matthews.
Mr. Chair.
We're all good.
On that note, I would say, you know, in concept, this is a concept that could have been dismissed as too big to deal with in February. Oh, my goodness. We're talking about how are we going to challenge this and what are we going to do? And there's just not time. And I just applaud Representative Parrish for bringing it forward, giving us a chance to vote on this, to move it forward and do something here. I think people need to realize, too, when you hear General Caldwell talk about the 5 days here and a 10-day course here, I mean, that is a very condensed and very, very, very fast-moving course. And this isn't new. We have done things in the fire service with firefighter academies and given them college credit for their firefighter academy. So we aren't breaching new ground. And for that idea, I would say I'm glad this committee took it on. And to the chairs and committee administrator, thanks for making this happen. But more importantly, Representative Parrish, she just does an outstanding job. I have no doubt that she will follow this to the Senate and make sure that we get the support we need over there.
Yeah.
And my gosh, just thanks for bringing it forward and thanks for your work. It makes it really easy on all of us.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Any more on my tie, Representative Huffman?
No, but, you know, Rep. Parrish makes a mean pork chop, too, so.
Yeah, we need to have a veterans committee dinner. I'll cook.
So much talent down on that end of the dais.
Okay. I think we've had enough discussion.
Yeah. You know, you guys can just keep saying how wonderful I am all day long. We got 2 hours to be here. So. Okay.
Yeah, post it on Facebook.
The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Boone.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Matthews.
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Parrish.
Aye.
Co-Chair Witt.
Aye.
Co-Chair Esquivel.
Aye. We need to assign this to a carrier. Do you think of anyone, Representative Parrish?
You know what? I'm happy to carry. And you know, anybody else who wants to jump in and chime in on the floor to make sure we're all convincing all of our colleagues. This bill needs to, you know, I'd love to see it pass out with all unanimous across our House floor. So, absolutely.
Motion passes, and assign this to Representative Parrish.
Thank you.
And we'll make sure that we'll have Representative Huffman's microphone blocked out so he can't talk about my tie on the floor.
That's right. So.
Anything else for the cause?
Nope.
Any further discussion for the committee as a whole? Seeing none, adjourned.